everyone. Welcome to Curiosity Killed the Cat. We're three curious friends.
That's us.
I'm Christy.
I'm Nash.
I'm Yvette. We'll be talking about all things paranormal, supernatural, creepy, spooky, and anything that makes you say, what the f***?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Curiosity Killed the Cat.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. Today we have Nash.
And Christy.
Yes. And our director, Yvette, is not here today.
Yeah. So if it seems a little unprofesh, it's because Yvette is missing.
We're missing her.
She's usually the one that tells us, cut. No. Let's do this again.
Let's do this again. Yes. She's a little under the weather, but we hope to have her back next week. I think she'll be fine.
Yeah.
She's just a little under the weather. I hope you all had a good Mother's Day weekend.
Definitely. Get some, to eat some chocolate dipped strawberries that I got to eat a lot.
Is that what you got?
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I got. Well, I got to spend time with family.
Oh, okay. That's always good.
Make them do things they don't want to do, but I do want to do.
Yeah. With a smile in their face.
Yes, okay. Exactly. No complaining on Mother's Day weekend, guys.
Definitely.
But because it is Mother's Day month, we are still continuing our Mother Knows Best.
These mothers do not know best, but we'll continue.
We have some Mama Dearest stories for you this month.
All right. I'm ready.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and I am bringing to you today the Hart family murders.
Oh, I was like, oh, that sounds sweet, and then murders.
That's not sweet, girl. Shout out to BA.
Hey, BA.
Hi, thank you for the recommendation. He actually recommended I talk about this, and once we had this Mother's Day segment, I knew it would be perfect.
He's like, I know of a messed up mom.
Yeah. He's like, I know some messed up moms. So thank you so much for your recommendation. And I really hope you guys enjoy. I mean, it's not a great story because unfortunately there were victims. But this story is actually about two moms.
Okay.
All right. They were a lesbian couple. Mm-hmm. So let's jump right in. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, girl. Ladies, gentlemen, our curious cats.
Let me know when that buckle needs to go on.
Okay. I'll let you know. We still got a little ways to go, but.
All right,
everyone. So I'm going to start off telling you a little bit about Jennifer Hart. She grew up in a small town of Huron, located in South Dakota Plains. As a child, she lived with her mother, father, and brother. But her parents did end up splitting up because at age 14, she moved in with her father due to being very headstrong and sneaky, Jen was sent to live back with her mom. So her father said, girl,
was she
you
a Taurus by any chance?
Huh?
Was she a Taurus by any chance?
I don't know. Okay. So she went back to live with her mom and she graduated high school in 1995 and enrolled in the University of Minnesota. She then transferred to Northern State University, which was 3 hours away from her home. Here is where she meets Sarah Gengler, which is pretty much this beautiful spark. They're doing great. They're taking pictures. They're living the college life. They are just on cloud nine. Ooh. They are just so in love.
Living the life.
Jen stops talking to her father shortly before graduation. All ties were cut. She never spoke to him again, and Sarah did graduate in 2002. Majoring in elementary education. Their relationship continued after, and they settled down in Alexandria, Minnesota in 2004.
Oh, okay. So they took it outside of school.
Yeah. Their relationship continued, but for some reason, and we don't know the details, Jen stopped speaking to her dad for the rest of her life.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, huh? Like, grudge.
Again, a Taurus. Jose, you understand this?
So, in their mid-20s, they adopted a troubled teen who was 15 years old. The teen was asked prior to the process if she would mind living in a household with lesbians as her guardians, and she was not opposed to this factor at all. The teen, we're going to call her Heather. I just made up that name just, you know, for protection.
Keep her anonymous.
To keep her anonymous. And the two women did a lot of fun things during the first 6 months of all residing together. They went camping, sporting events. Heather reports that she just really had fun with them. She was exposed to things she never got to do.
Well, yeah. She
and
had a family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they did things like they left the house. Right? And so Heather never reported any abuse while living with the Hart moms. But There was some rules that she wasn't too fond of. Heather was suggested to get a job by her mothers because they felt that she needed to learn responsibilities. She was a teenager, you know, make her own money. So she did. It was fine. She got a job at Subway.
Okay.
And the real rule that she didn't like was that if she was not at school or with Jen and Sarah or at work, she was not allowed to leave the home. There was no such thing as hanging out with friends, going to the football game.
Oh, so she always had to be supervised by them.
Pretty much. Like, she... Yeah, it was work, school, or them.
Yeah. She's 15?
And she's 15. Ooh. Yeah.
That's tough.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah, like, that's when you start lying and saying, I'm going to go to work to be able to hang out with your friends.
Oh, yes.
Totally. You work that. 40 hours, dear, and you only get paid $100.
Yeah, so that part kind of sucks. And Jen also seemed to hold grudges if she was unhappy with someone. And I'm going to tell you that in one event that really stood out to Heather, looking back now, was at an outing to a football game. The three ladies were having a good old time. They each took their football because after the game, they wanted to go get it signed. And so that's exactly what happened. The game ended and they went down to get it signed. They were Green Bay Packers fans. So they went down for Ahmad Green to sign their ball. Well, Green only signed Heather's ball. And Jen was a huge fan of his. She was so pissed. She did not acknowledge Heather for days.
What?
Yes. Like, she just ignored her. Gave it a silent treatment. Like, if Heather did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You she bitch. Was... You used. Yeah.
Exactly. But a lot of times at the games, that's what they do. It'll still sign the younger.
Right.
They
for the kids.
Sign, like,
for
the grown kids. Ass ladies. Yeah. Yeah.
It's you.
Yeah. Well, she was pissed.
I'm surprised she. Well. I guess she didn't take it, but we don't know if she took it, but...
I know, I still wonder, like, did they...
I've seen videos where, like, the adults, like the people throw the ball, and the adults all put their hands, and they're like, yeah, it's so I got
sad.
It.
I've seen those. The kids are all sad. So, a short time later, Jen told Heather they wanted to adopt children. They went to Texas to figure out the adoption process for the children, and Heather was excited at the idea because she was told, you're going to be an older sister, you're going to be a role model, finally more kids in the house, because she's, you know, 15 living with two 20-year-olds.
Right.
You know, mid-20s, I should say. She was excited about it. Jen and Sarah drop Heather off at a therapist's office while they were going to go see the details of adopting the children.
Okay.
Well, during that therapist session, the therapist was actually... supposed to break the news to Heather that she will no longer be living with the Harts.
Are you getting replaced?
She just, they dropped her off.
For a younger version. Oh my God.
Yeah, they left her there. And her belongings were now at her new place. She was never to speak to them again. And she didn't. She never reached out to them.
Was she going to go back to like the orphanage? Or was she going to go back to, go to a new home?
She went to a new home. But I don't know if it was another foster home or if relocated to... She was already 15. So it's almost like you're in the, you know, your last 3 years before. Right. So I think there was temporary housing. But yeah, they left her there and they never looked back.
How cruel.
Yeah.
For talk about abandonment. Stuff, yeah.
Right? That's dang. Pretty fucked up to just... I don't know. And, you know, you have huge trust issues.
Yeah, that and... Okay. You're going to do that to a kid. You're pretty fucked up. But let's say you're going to do that to a 15-year-old. Why get her hopes up? Say that you're going to be an older... Just don't tell her anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Until, well, you're going to drop her off. Fine, whatever. But why would you get her excited for something and then just drop her off? You were going to be this. Yeah.
You're so mean.
Yeah. That's very cruel.
It's fucked up. It's very cruel. Cruel is a good word for that because that's... Yeah. That's pretty right. Like that.
The buckle is on.
Girl, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Now is the time.
I will buckle on myself.
Okay, so March 4th of 2006, Jen and Sarah Hart adopted Abigail, who was born in 2003, Hannah, who was born in 2002, and Marcus, who was born in 1998. They seemed to be doing well in the beginning, and the first red flag was actually in 2008. While living in Minnesota, Hannah was seen with bruises on her left arm by her school teacher. The teacher asked where the bruises came from, and Hannah had said it was Jen who hit her with a belt. It didn't take long before all three kids were pulled out of school for the remainder of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
The Hart family was back in the market to adopt more children.
Wait, so the Jen or the Harts took the kids out of the school when kind of red flags started going up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she got caught. They were hitting her.
Yeah.
Yeah. With bruises, like,
Yeah. Chancla doesn't usually bruise.
What happened?
The chanclas usually don't bruise.
No.
They hurt at the moment, but they don't.
Well, even, I don't know.
I don't think I ever got a bruise from a belt.
Unless it was like a buckle.
Yeah.
But still, she's little. Like, she's not even 10. Like, fuck.
Well, and she's... Okay, are they returning all three kids now?
They
kept them, but they're adopting more.
So now they're in the market to adopt more. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about adopting is when you adopt, I forget, I think I was listening to a podcast and one of the girls she adopted her, one of her sons. She says, no, when you adopt it, it's like, yeah, after they do your background check and all the things that you have to go through, it's like, here's this one. He's fully yours, like full responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody checks up on you after you've been fully adopted.
I think that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's...
Because I'm sure there's people that unfortunately adopt a kid for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
And nobody's going to check up on it, you know?
Yeah. In 2008, three children, whose names are Devonta, Jeremiah, and Sierra, were taken in by their aunt. Their mother was not able to provide a safe, stable home for the kids and also had a drug problem. Priscilla, who was her aunt, cared and loved the children very much. She even relocated into a larger home for better care and so the kids would have more space.
Mm-hmm.
One day, Priscilla's employer asked her to work a double shift. Due to being such a last-minute request, Priscilla asked Sherry, the children's biological mother, to watch the children while she worked that shift. Supposedly, this isn't something that always happened.
Mm-hmm.
But on this very day, CPS came to the home for a random checkup. Being that they saw their biological mother caring for the children to be removed from the home and taken back into custody. Mm-hmm. Priscilla tried everything she could to get the kids back.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the courts, she pled her case, but there was just no persuading them. They took the kids away from her, and in 2009, they were officially adopted by the Hart family. Yes, so without any contact. Poor Priscilla, I mean, I feel my heart kind of goes out for her if that really was the story.
The story.
That was it. And they just, the agency that helped the adoption through, like, mm-hmm. It just seemed like they wanted to be like, oh, three kids of color.
Right.
They're all black and they got adopted by these white women. Like,
right.
They wanted to look good.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not even separating the family.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And to be honest, we don't even know if the mom, the one that did have a drug addiction, mm-hmm. we don't know if she got better. And that's why she got trust enough to, you know, care for the kids that day, let's mm-hmm. say.
That too.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. And they didn't bother to listen to her at all.
Oh,
they took the kids away. And so the organization that carried out the adoption had many complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Within 6 months of granting the adoption, the state took their license away for 2 years due to breaking standard procedures and serious violations. So this comes back to, if they're not doing things correctly, why wouldn't you go back into the history, the archives? Okay, how are these kids doing that got adopted by blah, 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 and so
right.
and so. It's well, like they just...
That's what happens with cops sometimes when they are detectives and mm-hmm. they... not too long ago, I heard about a detective that he lied and they proved that he lied on one of the his statements that he had... one of his cases that he had solved, he lied about one of the information that he put in. They went back on all his cases and they said that a bunch of them are going to be reviewed and some of them might be dropped because his word is not good anymore.
He's not trusted anymore.
Right. So why wouldn't you? Especially with kids.
Right? You think you'd go back and just wonder like, okay, are all these kids safe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, they just took away their license, suspended it, whatever. And then that was it. They didn't bother to check up on anything else. I just can't.
Moving forward, we'll start checking. That's what they're saying.
For reals, yeah. Well, meanwhile, you know, all this craziness happens.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of craziness, in 20... 10, Abigail Hart had owies on her back and her stomach. Abigail told a teacher what had happened was she found a penny, but Jen and Sarah did not believe her and accused her of stealing. To punish her, Jen held Abigail's head under cold water while hitting her.
Oh my God. For a penny?
A penny, girl. They thought she stole a penny. Girl, you find a penny anywhere.
Yes.
These people have control issues.
Big Desi time. Would find a quarter. Remember, he would be mama.
I don't remember.
Christy and me used to live together, and Desi was really young. He's a toddler. And he would, like, I would leave coins on the floor, and he would pick them up, and he would, mama! And then he would go and give you, like, a quarter, and uh-huh. Christy would pocket it. I'm like, give me back my quarter. Yeah. But Christy would be, like, playing. Money. She's all like, oh. Yeah, that's what you would be like, oh, pa' mi lavadora. And I'm like, this bitch did not just take...
sending Desi to pickpocket you.
Yes. So I'm like, for a penny? Oh, my God. Okay. Go on.
But yeah, this poor child. So fucked up. Authorities actually got involved in this case, and when the kids were questioned, they all said they often got spanked and were deprived from food. Due to them being in the hot seat, Sarah took the blame. Sarah, not Jen. So Abigail, the little girl, said it was Jen who did it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, once people got involved and they were being questioned for some reason, Sarah took the rap and said it was her that did all of that. Okay, so who knows? But I probably would believe the little girl.
Can we take all the kids away while this is figured out? Yeah.
Yes, but they didn't.
So they left the kids with Jen, right? Well, I'm guessing this is being investigated. Well,
they actually didn't remove anybody from the house. Sarah took the blame. She pled guilty to assault and was given 1 year of community service. And I guess they just said they'd get their act together, you know, just better things around the home. And then that was it with that. But 1 year later, Hannah told her school nurse that she was extremely hungry and had not eaten all day. The nurse called Sarah, and Sarah's response was to give the child water and to not believe her as she was just playing the food card. While this happened around this time, some of the school faculty had also noticed that the children were stealing food from others and even looking through the trash for food. How hungry can you be?
Yes.
That's starvation right there.
It's not using the food card anymore. It's beyond the card.
Shortly after this incident, all the children were once again taken out of the school to be homeschooled and relocated to Oregon.
No.
Yes. How do you not question that?
How does the case not follow you? Oh, she moved.
So they close say this case. That like it doesn't follow you in other states.
Yeah. But how do they do? Oh, fucking six kids so being abused. Oh, she moved.
You end up in Alaska.
Case closed. I know. Oh, that's why I know a lot of branches don't communicate, but it should be an overall, like, even especially just a red flag.
Yeah, you should get red flagged.
Something.
Yeah. Maybe like you sign up for a new school, there should be something, right?
It happens to you in banks. People are blacklisted on banks all the time. Like we used to.
Is it
because
there's
bank,
no money involved? Well, there is money involved.
They believe it's money laundering. They'll blacklist your, and then when you're entering your information, it'll put your social or just basic information on it. And it might open up your account at that moment if you're doing it with a banker. Mm-hmm. But once it runs through another program, it'll flag your account and it'll block it. Like you won't be able to open up another account, even in different branches.
Damn, and these people are just. Yeah, they're just taking off with their kids and starting anew.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But also, like, I don't want to bring up, like, bad stuff, but I do know someone that, like, was really, really poor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they told me they would dig through the trash for food. But that's, like, you're literally, like, you just can't take it. You but can't that's... take the hunger.
Okay.
So for but the kids like, to be that extremely hungry.
Come on. But there's, I think there's a difference between your entire family is poor and we're barely making it. Uh-huh. We're going to cook, you know, one chicken leg and hopefully make broth out of it. You know what I'm saying? We're all on this together.
Yeah.
Then the mom and dad being chingones eating every day three meals and then you don't don't eat.
Well, that's what it looked like. The moms looked super healthy.
Yeah.
Like they looked just fine.
But you don't eat.
Well, let me tell you.
Oh, goodness.
When they relocated to Oregon, Sarah was working retail and Jen was staying home with the kids and homeschooling them. Supposedly homeschooling them because Jen was like the head of this video game like club or something. And she was constantly playing the video game. And the kids were home, supposedly homeschooling. And they would also, it did seem like they would take pictures like, oh, homeschooling out in the nature and over by this waterfall. Like she would post a lot of things like, oh, I'm homeschooling. But there are people from the video game club that are like, there's no way she taught kids. Like, she was always playing this game. Like, she was addicted to the game.
What did she do at night?
Yeah, probably not. And they would constantly contact her.
Yeah.
People from the video game community. And she would always reply. Like, you wouldn't even think she had six kids at home.
Right.
Right.
She's not occupied. She's
available.
Oh, goodness.
Sarah, like I said, she was working retail. And she was very exhausted. She started... just looked like she was just kind of, everything was catching up to her. So she was the only one that worked. They were also getting income from the state and because they did adopt the kids.
With the kids.
But Sarah did mention to some of her coworkers that she was exhausted because when she would get off work and get home to the kids and Jen would then be like, okay, it's your turn. I've been with them all day. And then Sarah went from work to like work with the kids.
To work.
Yeah, because we all know, like, kids are a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like...
It's not a 8 to 5.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what happened with that. These are just, like, little signs of what was going on. The family began gardening and camping and attending music festivals because Jen would take them. Jennifer often posted on her Facebook post the kids going places, reading, gardening, harvesting their garden. And, like, in all the posts, the kids look super happy. The gardening, like, she would show them out in the garden. There was chickens.
Like, the best moments.
The best moments. Like, people seriously thought, like, oh, wow, this family, like, they're so involved, natural, eating organic. They were also vegetarians. Yes. Yeah. So she definitely put up a really good front.
The social media life.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what a lot of it is that you don't see what really happens. Until a source close to the family informed the authorities that the children were being abused and they were withheld from food. In one occasion, and this was a source that informed the authorities, like I said, the example that they gave is that in one occasion they had pizza for dinner. And each child was only allowed to eat one slice of pizza. It seems they were still hungry because the next morning, the remaining pizza disappeared.
Oh.
Okay. Jen was so pissed that someone stole the pizza. I don't know how you steal pizza from your own kitchen, but apparently that was a thing in that house. Being that the pizza disappeared from their own kitchen, she wanted the kids to confess. Well, nobody confessed to being the pizza bandit. And they were all punished without breakfast that day. And they were instructed to go to their beds and lay in their bed for 5 hours.
And think about
little kids. Yes.
And think about food.
I was wondering where you were going with that. Yeah. Think about what? Think about how bad they were by eating food? It's pathetic. It's absolutely ridiculous. On their birthdays, sometimes they were not able to wish each other happy birthday, depending on whose birthday it was. They didn't really treat all the kids equally. Some got treated worse than others. And they had to raise their hands if they wanted to talk.
Oh.
And they were acted like they were trained robots.
Right.
Like they weren't regular kids. When they would walk like in single file. Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
It was nuts.
So they weren't allowed to be kids.
No. When a wellness check took place, the children were all interviewed and none, this time none. So remember on the last one, they kind of started saying like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. We get, you know, we get hit. Food is gone. Like all the kids said that they were not being abused and that they, that living with their hearts was a great opportunity for them and better than living in a foster home. When Sarah and Jen were going to be interviewed, Jen opted that only, that she would only take the interview if she was to do it with Sarah. So both women had to be interviewed together. The moms. Yes.
And I thought she was going to bust the Trump. I want the questions prior.
No, okay. But, it seems that during that interview, Jen did most of the talking. I mean, she definitely seems like the more controlling one. Mm-hmm. She did most of the talking, and Sarah just kind of sat back. She was just very soft-spoken and didn't talk too much. Jan blamed society. She said that the world was angry at them because they were lesbians and because they adopted 6 black children. She blamed it on, you know, like, people don't like gays, and then it was racism. She blamed the fact that the kids were so little, because these kids were very little.
Of course. I'm going
to get into the measurements. They were very little. Oh. She blamed that the kids were so little because of their vegetarian diet, and because the kids were born into drug homes, and she referred to them as crack babies. Yes. And this is why they remained so little, according to her.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Hannah, one of the girls, she didn't have her 2 front teeth. And they asked, how come, you know, she doesn't have her 2 front teeth? And they said, oh, she doesn't want them.
Shit, she opted out.
Pretty much.
What?
Yes. Yes, this poor kid. Like, I don't know who in their
right. How? Head.
Because they said that, you know, they were, like, they were going to wait for her teeth to grow out.
Okay.
But they were her permanent teeth. So supposedly at the age of 17, she would then be able to get the implants. That supposedly the dentist told them that to wait till she was 17. And that was Hannah's understanding. So Hannah's like, oh, it's fine. I'm just going to wait. But.
Okay. I'm not an educated expert. Expert. Or, you know, one that goes to school to be able to defend the kids. But how the fuck do you. Oh, okay. Let me put that on my notes. Kid opted to. And that doesn't. Okay.
What child doesn't want their 2 front teeth?
Yeah.
When they're like you're going supposed through to grade be, school.
What the hell is the whole welfare check?
Like you're
going
to go to high school without?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What is that whole welfare check for if everything that they're telling you that's bullshit, that sounds like to a regular human being sounds like bullshit, and you're just going to be okay?
Oh, what okay. The fuck let is me a, just write it down.
Yeah. Then what is the purpose of doing a welfare check?
I don't know, girl. I really wonder on some social workers, like, I just really hope. You really have to have your heart in it, or else you're just getting there to get your paycheck, and you're not caring for these kids' well-being.
Right. Okay. Continue.
So let's go back to the kids being so little, okay? Like I said, they were very underweight. Not only were they underweight, they were short.
Okay.
Okay? So, hold on here, because in 2013 was when we have their measurements. They finally went to a doctor. And here we go, okay? 8-year-old Sierra weighed 44 pounds. She was 3 feet 9 inches tall. That's the average physicality of a 6-year-old. Okay? She was 8. Okay. 11-year-old Hannah weighed 50 pounds. She was 3 feet 9 inches and was also on a chart for the measurements of a 6-year-old. She's 11. 11-year-old Dante was 4'2". His girl chart didn't go below 4'4". So, once again, this kid's not on the charts. And he was also very small for his age. Marcus was 15 years old. He weighed 90 pounds.
Oh, my God.
He measured 4'9", and that's the average size of an 11 to 12-year-old boy. Jeremiah, who was their oldest, was the only child that did measure on the growth chart just barely. But he was actually, like, you can put the dot.
Right.
The rest of the kids. I don't know how you're 11, Hannah.
Yeah.
The 6-year-old.
How do you not question these things?
Let me tell you.
This is why the what are they called? La señora, the one that would be doing this.
The social worker?
Yeah. This is why the social worker, if she went through all these things, notated, got all this information, and still didn't do anything about it, this is why they should be held responsible for it.
Yeah. The system is so ridiculous. Our job,
you mess up, you see all these things being done wrong, and you still go with it, you're going to be held responsible on it because there's your name on it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Why this is, and this is, we're talking about money. Now imagine somebody, a kid's life, and you saw all these red flags, and you still didn't do anything. Then what were you doing? Yeah. Okay.
They were tiny, girl. Super tiny. Well, it wasn't only the social worker. Mm-hmm. Because a doctor took all these measurements. And a doctor's also supposed to, you know.
Right.
They were sent to, you know, evaluate the children.
Yeah.
Well, the doctor signed off saying that maybe it was their diet. Maybe it was because they were born into drug families that these kids were so little. Unfortunately, because they live such a holistic life, the kids, they never really took them to the doctor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, when you go to the doctor, it'll have your previous measurements and now. Mm-hmm. Well, there was no previous.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor signed it off like, well, we don't have anything to compare it to. Maybe these kids just are very petite. So they signed it off and on their merry way they went. They had nothing to compare it to and that was that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for all your kids to be like that and they're six and three are related and the other three are related.
Right.
Not all six of them.
Right.
But that's what happened with that and how that. All these measurements were just like.
But you can take away the kids from somebody that might have just been working. You know, let's say left it with somebody that they shouldn't, but
mm-hmm.
was working.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
Tell me this is as bad as it gets, Christy.
Oh, please, girl. We just getting started.
Oh, God. Okay.
During a protest in Portland, Oregon, after a grand jury declined to indict a Ferguson police officer in the fatal shooting of Michael Brown, Devonta was seen holding a sign that read, "Free Hugs." A white police sergeant approached him, made small talk, because Devonta did look fearful. He had tears coming down his face. Devonta just seemed helpless, like he didn't want, you know, this police brutality to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And the sergeant was very friendly with him, and he did see his sign, and he asked if he can have one of those, which was a free hug.
Mm-hmm.
Devonta, of course, said yes, and they embraced. Here's a picture. I'm showing it to Naya.
Oh,
and
I think I've seen it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the photographer that took that picture thought it was perfect because it symbolized humanity, hope, and positivity.
Mm-hmm.
He took the picture. He was going to post it on Instagram, but instead he sold the picture because it was such a strong picture. It
definitely went
viral.
It captures a moment. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It went totally viral.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people at the event that thought this was a little stage because they had seen Jen tell Devonta, "Oh, go stand over there," or "Go stand over there." Like,
mm-hmm.
like she was making him stand in certain areas mm-hmm. to get attention. Because she, you know, she was always trying to make her family look good, like she was raising the best kids.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this picture went viral, and that's kind of put them on the spotlight, a lot more spotlight than she wanted to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Shows, social media, they reached out, they wanted to interview the family, they wanted to interview Devonta, they offered to fly the family out,
mm-hmm.
and they declined.
Oh, so they brought a lot more attention than mm-hmm. they wanted.
They declined. They said that because they were receiving death threats and wanted to stay away from the public eye and social media. I don't know who would send them death threats if that picture with that picture, but that's just mm-hmm. my thoughts. That's how she got out of it. And her reasoning was that she was protecting the kids. So no interviews, no nothing. No family vacations too, because they're going to fly them out.
Remember a place that I used to work at that had it was a little kid and it was messy food over it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Okay. They got not death threats, but really bad letters saying that that picture was child abuse.
I think you've mentioned that yeah. once.
So, I mean, there's people that are you, you know, they're crazy, but they maybe because it is a white man hugging a little black boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's still racial right there, you know?
Yeah, and you're right.
I can see why, but they use that as an excuse.
I think they use that as an mm-hmm. excuse because, I don't know, like, she wanted her put herself out there or the family out there so much, but then once it was, like, too much.
Well, yeah, because I bet you there's a picture. Reporters are going to want a story behind the picture. Oh, okay, well, we'll start looking into the family, and then you start digging into that. Hey, there's actually reports of abuse prior. I mean, that's a story right there.
Oh, yeah.
So you want them to stop digging.
You're mm-hmm. right. They will find that.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. In 2017, because things were getting hot again, you know, Devonta's picture went viral. That was, like we're saying, that was a little scary for them. They didn't want to be, you know, dig up the dirty laundry. The family relocated to Woodland, Washington. The children continued to be homeschooled and apparently starved because in August of 2017, Hannah jumped out of the second story window at 1:30 in the morning. She ran to her neighbor's home. When the man opened the door, Hannah ran in and up the stairs, attempting to hide in an upstairs bedroom behind a bed. She was crying and pleading, "Don't make me go back. They are racist and abuse us." The couple considered calling 911, but
course.
began to hear calls outside as her family was looking for her. Hannah! They were all yelling, and you can see the flashlights. And
Right.
the neighbors told the Harts that their daughter was hiding upstairs. Jen barged in and went up the stairs looking for Hannah. She asked to be alone with Hannah, and so the neighbors, of course, said yes.
No.
In which case, a few minutes later, Jen and Hannah walked down the, back down the stairs very calmly, and Hannah apologized for disturbing their night, and they went back home.
No,
I feel so bad for that little girl.
yeah, you know, you're like, if you want to say something, say it in front. I mean, you want to see the reaction of the little kid. You don't. Oh.
But how much balls does it take to, you know, they clearly were controlling these children. They ran, she ran for help, and then you have to go back home with her. Like,
Oh, for sure.
fuck, I would be so scared. I'd be so scared. Like, oh, I really did it this time.
Oh yeah, you good old beating.
Yep. The next day, Jen took all the kids and lined them up as Jen introduced all the children to their neighbors, making it sound like they were one big happy family. And she was saving them from foster care and the families that they came from. At the end of the introduction, they were given an apology letter from Hannah, stating that she shouldn't have done that. Jen also said that Hannah was having a really rough day. She got in a fight with her siblings and she ran away. She completely blamed it on the siblings and just. The neighbors thought it was really weird how they were all lined up.
Right.
It just didn't really make sense. And then once the conversation was over, they single filed walked back home like little robots, as they say. Okay. The neighbors had were a bit surprised that kids even live next door because the only person they ever saw was Devante, which was the little boy with the free hug sign. He would be out in the yard working, taking out the trash, raking the leaves. That was it. They didn't see all these other kids there. So that was already kind of odd to them. A few months after the incident, Devonta knocked on the neighbor's door asking for food,
Oh my
such as
gosh.
bread, tortillas, bologna. He began to socialize more and more with the neighbors. Their names were the DeCobs, telling them that his mothers often withheld food from them and abused them as punishment. This has been going on for years, as you
Yeah.
know, we're all listening to the story.
Yeah.
The thing is, Sarah used to kind of put Jen, kind of give in more than Jen. Jen was clearly the stricter parent. Sarah would be like, okay, let's just feed him, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Like she would kind of give in to the children, which it's not really giving in because you're just feeding kids.
Right.
But it seemed that Sarah was kind of, I want to say she was probably just getting overwhelmed, tired of always fighting. She was just starting to let it slide. She was letting Jen
Okay.
take more control and withhold more food from them. Instead of
Okay.
stepping in and stopping it,
Right.
she was just like, okay, whatever. And Devonta was so desperate for him and his siblings, he started asking the neighbors. He also told the neighbors that everything that Hannah told them was true that night that she ran away. She let them know that they went long periods of time without eating. And the neighbors offered to call the cops, but Devonta insisted and begged they didn't because he feared that if they were taken away, they would get separated. In mid-March of 2018, Devonta was asking for food multiple times a day because the cops were giving him food. So it just became more and more. I guess he
Right.
got comfortable and desperate, and he was the only one allowed to go outside. Here's the
Okay.
neighbors. They kind of give you a brief, like.
Week ago or so, one of the children came over and started asking for food. And it went on for a period of time until we kind of determined that he was probably reaching out. And we determined to, that we should call the Child Protective Services, and that's what we did on Friday.
He said he was asking for a lot of food.
Yeah, a lot of food. I mean, it started out very
tortillas, and it ended up a case of food. Multiple, you know, cured meats, non-perishable food items.
Right.
And was asking that we not tell his mom and to, you know, hide it and put it by the fence so he could get to it. That they were withholding food from him. As
oh, you know, it was Devontae. You guys have shown us pictures, and we've talked about that one. It was Devontae for sure.
Who ended up calling the authorities was Mrs. DeCobb's father, who was being told of what was going on. He became uneasy of the whole situation. Right. He stated he was having trouble sleeping at night.
Right.
He made the call to inform CPS that the children were being abused. Once again, Sarah and Jen were in the situation of being on the radar of mistreating their kids.
What'd they move? Fucking ass.
I don't know what would have been worse.
I wouldn't be surprised if they just got up and left.
Well, they might have heard you, girl. They avoided opening their door or speaking to them. CPS had reached out twice, and on March 23rd, they left a note again stating that they'll be back. And also on March 26th, which was not, the CPS didn't know, but it was already too late.
Mm-hmm.
Because after receiving that March 23rd notice, the Hart family all got into their SUV and left the home and were never to come back. The GPS on their vehicle tracked that they traveled north on the 5 toward Longview and then west towards the coast. They made a stop at Walmart for 18 minutes where they bought generic Benadryl, the Walmart brand. After numerous stops, the Harts made their way down the coast into California. Their GPA was then turned off near Fort Bragg at 7:15 p.m. At approximately 11 p.m., Jen pulled out at the turnout of PCH in Mendocino County near Westport. Jen hit the pedal to the metal and drove the entire family over a 100-foot cliff in their SUV.
Oh, my God. She was tired of it.
The kids had so much going for them. Like, they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
The wreckage was found, and Jen and Sarah were deceased in the vehicle, both 38 years old. Marcus was age 19. Abigail and Jeremiah, both 14, were found near the wreckage. Sierra, age 12, was found 10 days later. Hannah and Devontae were not located. Some thought perhaps Hannah and Devontae were able to survive and could have been together on foot. Unfortunately, that was not true because 10 months after the crash, a partial foot was found inside a shoe tangled in with some jeans. And it was confirmed that that was Hannah's foot. So Hannah was also in the vehicle at the time of the crash.
Goodness.
There was rumors that Devontae perhaps, you know, they did something to him. They killed him on the property because he was the one.
He was the one that ratted them out.
Towards the end. But Devontae was also very favored by the Harts. Like, he was the one with the free hugs. Like, it seemed like he was the only one that was able to leave the house. But his body has not been found. To this day, his body has not been found.
Never?
No. There were speculations. But after the cadaver dogs went and searched the home, nothing was found. And it is believed that Devontae passed with the rest of his family. In April of 2019, Devontae was officially declared dead. Jen was not much of a drinker. And the day of the murder-suicide, she had an alcohol level of 0.104. Dang. That's approximately 5 beers. The black box from the SUV confirmed the SUV did not break at all before going over the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
The remaining family had very high dosages of Benadryl in their system. The day before the car wreck, Sarah had Googled, quote, "Is death by drowning relatively painless? How long does it take to die from hypothermia in water while drowning in a car? Can 500 milliliters of Benadryl kill a 120-pound woman? What will happen when overdosing with Benadryl?" So I think we can only hope that the kids were asleep.
Yeah, I hope.
Because of so much Benadryl that was in their system. Mm-hmm. When the authorities visited their home, they were confused as to where the children even slept. The home had a full-size bed that was believed to be Sarah and Jen's. Mm-hmm. There was one twin bed and two folding love seats. And it was just family of eight.
On the floor, man.
The home had no family photos on the walls, no real signs of children. Again,
where does the freaking lady come
in? How do you not walk in and like, okay, let's see where they sleep?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Let me open your pantry.
The basics of, let me see.
Yes. The basics of let me see.
No, the basics of finding out, like, how do they, you know.
Yeah.
Do they have what they need?
Do they have beds? Do they have dressers?
Do they have food that's available for them to grab? Like,
how does this just slip through? How do all these things just slip through? The house was extremely organized. It looked like no signs of children even lived in that home. Mm. The refrigerator contained meat, hot dogs, chicken nuggets. Which was opposite of what she always said. We're vegetarian. We're organic. Da da da. They had frozen food. They had chicken nuggets. Like, it was just all a huge front
lie
that she had been putting up. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that is the story of the Hart family.
No.
And there were no survivors in the story. So I'm going to show you some clips, Naya. Mm-hmm. They're pretty quick.
What a downer. I forget how these can be such a town.
You forget what this podcast is about. Yes,
for real.
It's freaking awful. You have my Chromebook over there?
Oh, yes.
It's so fucked up.
Do you think the little kid died?
I think he died. They think he got swept out to sea.
Oh, that never makes sense.
So at first, people thought it was an accident. They're like, oh my God, this poor family. We're starting to
get at least a picture of where this family was before this horrible accident. Is that helping you in any way to figure out why the accident happened and where those three missing kids are?
Well, it's certainly helping us determine the route. I'm to the point where I no longer am calling this an accident. I'm calling it a crime. And the fact that the grocery store did have her on video buying multiple fruit pieces, multiple bananas, you know, leads us to believe that she was at least buying some food for her family. And actually, we haven't released the name of the driver, but I'm prepared to do that. I just got off the phone with the CHP commander. And Jennifer, the same woman that was in the video from the grocery store, is the woman that we believe was driving the vehicle when it crashed.
I wouldn't be surprised if Jen and Sarah were both strapped in because it wasn't in the plans to commit suicide, and maybe it was like a last minute thing. If they start getting in a fight, I have enough of this, you know, I'm done, whatever it may be. And Jen, you know, being Jen, is just like, nope, we're all going together.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just feel so bad for the kids, but she was drinking. That's the part that's kind of weird. Like, people think, like, she needed the liquid courage to murder the family.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. These freaking kids, man. It's just not fair how it all went down.
Yeah, it's not, and, you know, the system failed them multiple times.
Big time. Yeah. All the states. And then, just a Facebook post, like, it was just, everything was a lie. Everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and she claims, like, she was saving the kids.
Oh, man, Christy, this poor kids. I wish everybody didn't fail them.
I wish if you adopted a child, you were going to treat it right. Yeah. Like, I know some people have kids, and, like, fuck, they think they can do it, but they don't, like.
Yeah.
But why would you, adopt three kids and adopt more? You know, it's just, what life are you trying to give them? Not a good one. What for? Man. For yourself? For your own selfish reasons? What the fuck are you trying to do? Who are you trying to prove it to? Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, we will talk to you next week with another story.
Oh, yes.
We'll see what you guys enjoy this store. One.
And definitely enjoy the rest of your day, guys.
Yes. We'll see what Yvette has in store for us on our Mother Dearest month of May.
Yes.
Take care, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey guys, just wanted to update you that we have our email and IG up and running. Please send your comments and suggestions to thecuriouscatpod@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at @CuriousCatPodcast.
Please rate, review, subscribe, and tell a friend.
Stay curious, and remember, curiosity killed the cat. Wow!